You are Locked On the NFL, your daily NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, hello, hello, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. The Locked On Network is kicking some serious butt lately, I must say, and a little bit of a curveball these last 2 weeks. I mean, Sage wasn't able to join us last week. We had Thanksgiving. All of our guests actually weren't able to join us last week. It was a strange week. And usually I sit here and I talk to Sage about quarterbacks and Vikings and whatever else around the NFL on Tuesdays. But I can't do it tomorrow. So we are getting together a day early. So that's a present to all of you in the holiday season. Sage, how are you?
I'm doing great. Fresh off a big game last night.
Yeah.
Very, very closely watched that Vikings-Packers game. I truly believed the loser of that game was done. I think the Green Bay Packers are done, and I think it keeps the Vikings in the picture. I'm not sure how good the Vikings are. I think they're a edge playoff team, but if they would have lost that game last night, I think they would have been cooked.
Yeah, let's just stay there for a minute. And the Packers have a pretty easy schedule going forward, and the Vikings have a really difficult schedule going forward. But I agree with you. I mean, I watch Green Bay and think that's not a playoff team. There's been a lot made about McCarthy and is his job on the line. I do think that he is on the hot seat. And to steal a phrase from Mike Lombardi, he often talks about battleship football. And you know the game Battleship, A2 hit, C8 miss. And where I'm going with this is I feel like the Packers play calling is sort of battleship football. You know, you watch some of these great offenses in the league, and the running game complements the passing game so well, and they work hand in hand. And I don't mean that as a compliment to the Packers. I mean it's just kind of throwing things out there and hoping you hit. Do you have that feeling with this offense?
Yeah, there's just something not right about it. And you know, they actually run the ball decently. You know, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams have done a nice job. I think this year they don't get it. Doesn't seem like a ton of attempts, but they don't have the big play weapons in the passing game. You know, they have no sort of Tyreek Hill, Taylor Gabriel, Tariq Cohen, speedster, Stephon Diggs. They just don't have that type of exciting player, and I think it's just really hurting them. And Aaron Rodgers is – there's something going on there with him, by the way.
Yeah, I want to bring that up, too.
I have – that was almost Jay Cutler-esque body language, right?
Well said.
It's not what you say to somebody, it's how you say it. It's the tone of your words, not the actual words themselves. What was Aaron Rodgers' tone last night from beginning to end? It was not a player who was bringing a lot of energy to the table, positive energy. And, he was very sort of subdued. That was really interesting last night. I'm not sure if it's, drama with the head coach, just the season and the team's pressing and below 500, or bigger picture. I don't know, but that was not the Aaron Rodgers that I've seen play at, really the highest levels of quarterback play in NFL history. That was not him last night.
Yeah, it's a good point. And, if the Packers are going to move on from their quarterback or their head coach, it's not going to be the quarterback. Yeah, I'm pretty sure his job's safe.
Well, it's probably because he makes about five times as much as a head coach. That's that's
something to do with it.
That probably has a lot to do with it too. And I don't think they'd move on from Aaron Rodgers either way. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is the problem. I wonder if he's just sort of worn out of trying to be Superman. It does always remind me of like Michael Jordan early in his career before he started winning championships. I think he was got frustrated and was getting exhausted of trying to do everything every single night and be sort of a superhero. And because of that, Aaron Rodgers is missing some open shots. He's missing some layups. What we would consider a layup, he had one last night. He did not miss that throw. So there's something off with him. They're just not making those big plays at the right times. They only scored 17 points last night. And obviously they have nobody defensively, that's just a sort of a game wrecker along that defensive front. There's no Khalil Mack. There's no Akeem Hicks. There's no, you know, player like that that really scares offenses. And Kirk Cousins had a field day last night.
Yeah, the roster needs some work. And just an overall question kind of surrounding Rodgers is, I've often described him as, you know, a great jazz musician. You know, that he kind of goes with the flow. And I wonder, playing with all those young receivers and a new tight end, I mean, it seems like he only has eyes for Adams. I mean, I'm not saying they should have kept Jordy Nelson, but it feels like it's a real transition period with Rodgers and his receivers. Do you think there's a disconnect there, too?
Yeah, there's something. It doesn't seem like he's super comfortable with it, you know. But by contrast, Drew Brees, I think, threw 4 touchdowns to 4 undrafted free agents last on Thursday night. I mean, and I think those are the two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers is 20 touchdowns to 1 interception. His interception percentage is like 0.3% or something like that. I mean, it's under 1%. It's like under 1% of his passes.
It's historically good. Yeah,
are being intercepted. It's absolutely incredible. But there's something missing about this, you know, Green Bay team. They don't seem to make that big play. They don't have a lot of superstars. And he does not seem like the same player. So Packers are done. And the Vikings, the question is, how much can they put on Kirk Cousins' shoulders week in and week out? How great does he have to play? Because he played great last night, and they won by 7 points at home. How great does he have to play for this team to, you know, win probably a road playoff game, if not 2, to get to the Super Bowl? I'm not sure if he can do all that with, against teams who have great pass rushers. There's usually a negative catastrophe type play that happens during a ball game. If Kirk Cousins is throwing a ball 40 times a game, a lot of dropbacks, you know, pass. They don't run the football in Minnesota well at all. They didn't run the football well last night, averaged about 3 yards a carry, not very good. And last year they were one of the best in the league in rushing. So that's the question with the Vikings. I think they're going to be a playoff team. They got a tough schedule coming up here. And the question is what is their formula for winning? And is that formula good enough to win deep down the stretch?
Yeah. And I don't have much more to add on the Vikings side. You pretty much summed it up there. I did like how Dalvin Cook looked. I think Latavius Murray's a nice compliment to him. I think that defense is really rounding into shape. Guys like Daniil Hunter are superstars. I think they're back to the top of the, near the top of the league in terms of their defense. But the offensive line's an issue, and it's not going to get better. And kind of like you alluded to, if everything's on Cousins' shoulders, you're probably not going to keep up with New Orleans, the Rams, those type of teams.
That's right. There's a ton of pressure on offensive coordinator John DeFilippo right now. And Mike Zimmer put some of that pressure on him last week. He made some comments. Didn't have to call him out specifically, but, basically the offense needs to play better and all those types of things. And so, for this team to go from one of the best running teams last year to one of the worst this year, obviously also losing offensive line coach Tony Sperano right before the season, a really good old line coach. This team has some question marks. And one thing that they did last night with, Dalvin Cook, get him out in space. The Vikings don't run the ball well, but they do have great weapons. So they got him out in space with a little swing screen last night, went for 26 yards and a touchdown. Cook had 3 catches for 47 last night. But maybe he's a guy. And Kyle Rudolph had a big night. They haven't been throwing him the ball very much this season. So to me, it seems like they have to spread the ball around to more players and not just rely on Thielen and Diggs to take him, because they can follow this year. Because when they play a team like this week with Bill Belichick, I promise you, Bill Belichick will force Kirk Cousins to win this ballgame with Kyle Rudolph, Dalvin Cook, and Latavius Murray, not with Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, good point. Let's take a quick break, and then I want to talk a couple other quarterbacks, and then we're going to finish up the show talking about tonight's game a little bit, too. So we'll be right back. All right, we talked about the Vikings there to end the first segment, and I had the host of Locked On Broncos on the show last night, and I thought watching Case Keenum yesterday really reminded me of Vikings Keenum, 2017 Keenum, where the Steelers are winning a lot of battles at the line of scrimmage, but he did a great job extending plays, avoiding sacks without forcing the issue, playing calm, but getting an extra second or two with his feet. And Denver's got past the brutal part of their schedule. It's a lot easier going forward. I don't know what quite to make of that team, but I think they deserve some credit. I mean, two good wins in a row.
They do. They're 5-6, and that was a like 2017 Case Keenum game, it seemed like to me. You know, he just sort of, he's a gamer. He's one of those guys that does bring that energy. He may not have Aaron Rodgers' arm or Kirk Cousins' arm or, you know, some of those things, but he brings an energy, a competitive spirit. And I think the Broncos are starting to feel that and catch on. And they're playing better and better football. I don't, you know, they're not going to make the playoffs, but I think this is why, one, Keenum's there, but this is why, you know, he had such a good year last year. He sort of played the same way, just had a much better football team.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think that's been a nice fit for them. He's brought them energy. They're trying to sort of get back in the mix. I feel like the Broncos are a little bit starting over after their Super Bowl run and those good teams with Peyton Manning. You know, the defense, a lot of those guys are gone now. So this is a young football team trying to find itself. And I think Case Keenum is a really good quarterback for that. Brings really good energy and sort of a never say die attitude to this football team.
Yeah, and another team trending in the right direction is the Browns. And Baker Mayfield has really put a five-game stretch together here, and even most notably without, you know, with new coaches that are really impressive. I mean, I think it's safe to say that clearly he is the long-term answer here, but I'm really impressed with what Mayfield's doing, and I really like what Chubb looks like. This team has a foundation now.
This is a team on the rise for sure. You know, I imagine sort of like San Francisco was that team this year. You know, coming out of last season, the hot team, people really liked them. They got hot. You know, they won the last five games of the year. I sort of feel like Cleveland is also that team. They're 4-6-1. They were so bad the last few years under Hugh Jackson. They've got a different energy now. You know, they were a big time. This game was basically a blowout. They were a big time in this game, and it looks like Cincinnati, by the way, going the complete opposite direction after starting off the season, you know, in the mix. But I think, yeah, Cleveland, they got two really good players. Chubb is a stud. He can run the ball extremely well. He can also, as you saw yesterday, make a great catch for that touchdown. And Mayfield does everything. I'm telling you, he has a cannon when he's in the pocket. He buys time a little bit like Rodgers. He puts touch. He threw about three or four balls that were nicely over a linebacker and then into his receiver's hands on the move. The touchdown pass was a really nice play where he bought a little extra time. He is going to be a really good NFL quarterback, I imagine, if he keeps his head on straight and really, you know, acts and continues to act like a pro. I think this Cleveland team has got something going on. So the question is, you know, do they keep their same head coach at the end of the season, Greg Williams? You know, they keep their offensive coordinator. Everyone is fighting for a job, and it's sort of like the pressure's off. The elephant has been recognized and has now moved out of the room, the head coach there with Cleveland. And so this is a team that, you know, might make things interesting by beating some other good football teams here at the end of the season. And then obviously going into the next year, I think they're going to have a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And one of Mayfield's rookie counterparts, Lamar Jackson, not nearly as far along as Baker in terms of just, you know, overall quarterback skills and whatnot. But he made his second start, and I think he only had two rushing attempts in the first half. I mean, I think they made a concerted effort that, hey, Lamar, you're going to throw the ball. You know, you're going to be an NFL quarterback. And they weren't really difficult throws, but I thought it was a step in the right direction of getting the ball out of your hands somewhat accurately. And then as the game went on, he made more and more plays with his feet. If it's me, I think it's pretty clear that, Lamar, you're the starter from now until, you know, going forward.
Oh, I think so. I mean, what does Baltimore have to play for? I mean, they're in the mix here. They're 6-5, but I think they just have a better – this is a better formula for them to win football games. And I don't think it's with Joe Flacco's arm anymore. Just not the way this team is set up. And so they're sort of grounding and pounding. They're doing this sort of the Tim Tebow style of football. And I tell you, it's really hard on other teams, on defenses, when you have a quarterback that can run. And Lamar Jackson is a good enough thrower where he has to keep you honest, but he is so fast. When he turned the corner yesterday on that touchdown, on the bootleg they ran, he was in the 10-yard line and he was in the end zone in a blink of a second. And he just has that big playability. That's really hard on defenses. And it allows, their other running backs to run the ball well. Ty Montgomery was 8 for 51 yesterday and Gus Edwards was 23 for 118. They run the football extremely well. There is a style it's different than what the Patriots do. It's different than what the Vikings are currently doing, but you can grind out wins on the ground and try to stay away from turnovers. Now, I think the Ravens, I think it'd be smart for them to stick to this formula with Lamar Jackson, because it's just hard on defenses to have a quarterback who can make big plays and he can make them.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I mean, he is very intriguing. Another quick break here coming up, and then we're going to talk about two older statesman quarterbacks that aren't going to be confused with Lamar Jackson in terms of athleticism, and then talk a little bit about Titans at Texans tonight, too. I want to profile those two quarterbacks. So we'll be back here in a moment. All right, Sage, I teased it last segment that there's two other veteran quarterbacks I want to talk about. Both of them coming off pretty nice days, drafted the same year. Phillip Rivers is having a tremendous season. Eli looked like he was all kinds of washed up, but now all of a sudden, I'm starting to kind of have second thoughts on him. I thought he played pretty well the last week or two.
Well, let's talk about Eli first.
Okay.
All right. So I was looking at his stats early this morning. Eli Manning, believe it or not, on this football team, but are they like 3-8 or something? I think they're 3-8, the Giants. He's having statistically his best year of his career. He's thrown for 69%, 14 touchdowns, 7 picks at a 96 QB rating. He's never had a 96 QB rating in his career. His average rating over his whole career is 84. All right. His average completion percentage over his career is 60.3. That's 60.3. He's 9 points above that. he's having a statistically really good year. Shows, I think, the value of Pat Shurmur as a coach, by the way, as an offensive line. I do think the Vikings are missing whatever the magic is of Shurmur. I think he's a good offensive coordinator. So Eli is quietly having a pretty good year statistically. Now,
yeah, let me argue that real quick, if you don't mind. I mean, you're 100% right, and I just gave him some praise. But, boy, he has certainly benefited from two-yard dump-offs of Saquon Barkley, who is really, really impressive. And I wrote an article a couple weeks ago that I think Odell Beckham looks better on tape than any wide receiver in the league right now. So that doesn't take anything away from Eli, but those two are sure helping those causes with those numbers.
Well, listen, Case Keenum did really well last year with Jerick McKinnon and to dump the ball off and Dalvin Cook earlier in the year. Use those running backs. It's a different style for Eli. He's always been, when he was with Kelvin Gilbride for those big seasons when they won Super Bowls and for about 10, 11 years there, they were throwing the ball down the field a lot. They were a very vertical offense. That's why his passing percentage was always down, as their receptions were always pretty high. They were not a sort of dink and dunk style football team. Shurmur, that's not his style. So high completion percentage, get the ball out of his hands. The problem with Eli is he just can't really do much more than sort of the offense that is executed out there, if that makes any sense. Or the offense that is he's not a big creator. He doesn't do what Russell
improv,
Wilson does.
Right.
He's not going to improv. He's not that type of athlete. Never really was, definitely not anymore. But in the offense, in the framework of this offense, and boom, get the ball out of his hands, he's having a pretty good year. Strangely, because everyone sort of thinks that the Giants are done and Eli should be done, they should move on and this, that, and the other. Now, on the other side, Phillip Rivers, he's having an MVP caliber season. I think at this pace, Drew Brees will win the NFL MVP. But Rivers is really playing pretty dang good football, and obviously played unbelievably yesterday, starting the game 25 for 25. That had never happened before. Ends up 28 for 29 in a really big win for them. This team really does have a chance to get pretty far, I think, in the NFC playoffs. They got a lot of good football players over there, and their quarterback, Phillip Rivers, is I think still one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, I absolutely agree on Rivers, and I don't think it's being reported enough. They come to my hometown here in Pittsburgh next Sunday night. That's going to be a big one for sure. Maybe they'll meet again after that. Who knows? Melvin Gordon, though, is injured. That's definitely a blow for a really well-rounded team, the Chargers. But I agree with you. I mean, I kind of think Breeze and Mahomes sit alone in terms of, like, MVP talk. But Rivers, Luck, I think they're right behind them. I mean, and in most years would be in the conversation.
Yeah, Rivers having a very good year. You know, he is – people don't realize how big and strong he is. He goes about 6'5", 240. You know, I remember I worked out one time in the offseason. I went out to San Diego and we went to this – you know, Drew Brees was working out there and Rivers was. Rivers is bench pressing 150-pound dumbbells on, you know, on his arm. I mean, just that's what old linemen do.
Right.
I mean, he is a big, strong man. I was much lower than that, obviously. So, you know, so those types of guys, he can play a long time. You know, he's so strong. He does have great arm strength, you know, still. I love how he, you know, he drops balls off in the pocket, little sidearm this, little, he can do it all. He can, you know, play action. He's got a very quick release. I don't think people talk about quicker release. He has very quick release and obviously really accurate and have a very good season. And obviously a career day yesterday, 20 of 29, 259 and 3 touchdowns and an easy win, over the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah. And I often say, I think Rivers is the most underrated player of this generation. He's an easy Hall of Famer in my book.
I think so too. And yeah. You know, people talk about Eli cause he's got the Super Bowl rings, but you know, Dan Marino did not have any Super Bowl rings either. Obviously, he was a no-brainer Hall of Famer. I think if Philip Rivers plays in Chicago for the last 15 years, you know, we talk about him all the time. But he plays in what was San Diego, a small market, now L.A., but they're sort of the second team in L.A. I mean, they're playing in a soccer stadium. They just don't have that, like, national brand that, you know, the Steelers or the Bears or you know, the Dallas Cowboys have. I mean, if he was a Dallas Cowboys quarterback, you know, that the conversations there would be completely different, right? I mean, people talk about Tony Romo as a Hall of Famer. Phillip Rivers is a lot better over the course of his career than Romo was. So, yeah, I agree with you. Definitely a Hall of Famer. First ballot Hall of Famer, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And there's like 12 people in the stands of that Charger game yesterday. Tonight's game, I don't necessarily want to preview it so much, but I don't know that you and I have talked Mariota and Watson, certainly not recently. I'm big supporters of both now. I didn't love Watson coming out of school, but I'm sold now. I kind of like how Houston has reeled him in a little bit. They're running the ball a little bit more. Mariota, to me, I've stood on the table for this guy over and over. It's just getting a little harder to do anymore. I mean, you can make excuses in his favor. Boy, he doesn't have much around him. He's had a million different systems. And I'm still a believer. I'm just saying it's a little harder to be on that limb right now.
Yeah, and that's understandable. He just, you know, because he's a guy that you want to be a successful quarterback, right? I mean,
yeah.
he's like the everything that you'd want in a leader, in a face of your, you know, franchise. But, you know, also at the end of the day, you like a quarterback to throw a lot of touchdown passes. He's thrown 7 this year, right?
That's crazy.
You know,
yeah,
so
right.
I will say this, though, in this offense, and I do know this Matt LaFleur offense, it comes from that Shanahan system. A lot of times it seems like the second half of your first year in it, or maybe your second or third year in that system, you start to sort of figure it out. And usually it seems like guys play better the more years they have. Now, that's normal for most offense, but I think in this offense in particular, I feel like players play better the longer they're in it. And he, you know, he played pretty dang well, I think, recently. You know, as far as, you know, the Texans, I love Deshaun Watson. I've always, when he was coming out, he's a winner, but he does have really good tangible abilities of a quarterback. He can throw the ball well. He has a huge arm, and obviously he's such a really good athlete, though I really see him as more of a Russell Wilson, more of a pocket passer who can create than the guy who can just run like Lamar Jackson right now. So he is a good thrower. He does throw for 65%. He has 18 touchdown passes. I do like the Texans in this game. They won 7 in a row?
I think it is.
They won 7 in a row, I think.
It's a quiet winning streak, but wow. They
won 7 in a row, and so I like them in this ball game. Shoot, I might like them by, you know, 10 points, even 2 touchdowns in this game. I think the Titans are just an okay football team with an average roster, and they're just not explosive enough on offense.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Texans in this one, too. Sage, you're the man. This was fun. I appreciate you altering your schedule so we could do this today instead of tomorrow. And then we'll be back next Tuesday.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Take care, man.